This afternoon, we'll have a Bible study. Already have one topic by request, two requests as a matter of fact, concerning Ezekiel 34. So, let's go through Ezekiel 34. Okay? Now, the question is, does Ezekiel 34 refer to the ministers in the churches of God? Or does it refer just to ministers in the world who pretend to be ministers of God? Well, all right, we'll tie that together with something else here in just a minute. Yeah, we will see that it has a broad application. Okay? Let's begin right in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now, that refers to all 12 tribes. Okay? Shepherds, we can't say exclusively applies to religious leaders, but undoubtedly more so than political leaders. Because there are some political leaders who shepherd people along, and they do the same thing. So the application can be quite broad. Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. In other words, they're the hirelings. We'll see about hirelings a little later. And they take care of themselves rather than take care of the sheep. So God asked the next question, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Well, if you're a shepherd of a regular flock, you better feed them or you ain't going to have any income. Is that not true? All right. Same way, shepherds that should be representing God have a responsibility to God and from God and to the sheep. It works both ways. So they set themselves up as the elite category. We've all seen this in the church experience we've been through. You can even apply this to the Catholics if you want to. If you look at the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, do they not do the same thing? Oh, they take a poverty vow, but they sure live high on the hog. Don't they? Yes. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you kill the fat ones, but you do not feed the flock. Okay? Now let me give myself a little note here as I go along. Verse 4. You have not made the weak strong, nor have you healed the sick, nor have you bound up the broken. You have not brought again those that were driven away, nor have you sought that which was lost, but you have ruled them with force and cruelty. Now, we've all experienced that, haven't we? I remember I was sitting in a forum where we heard nothing but lies about the profligate son of the alleged apostle. And at that Bible study, he stood up there and he looked down on the people and says, You're all a bunch of dumb sheep. And I sitting in the back and I said, Yeah, but God doesn't expect us to remain dumb. See? Okay. And sure enough, a lot of them were because they believed the lies. See? Just like we talked about this morning, whenever trouble comes and you try and work it out yourself with your own scheme to try and hide it, it always backfires. Thank you. So here's what happened. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Now that's like going out into the world, just being absorbed into the world. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock were scattered upon all the face of the earth. and none searched nor sought for them. It's like some people I talk to here today. Well, they've been to this group, and they've been to that group, and they've been to the other group, and so forth. What do they find? Well, you get along for a while, and then guess what? These things start kicking in, and you say, uh-oh, Pete and repeat, here we go again. See? So God has a message. And I've read this many times, and I've taken this as correction, because this one man brought up, if this is talking about all the shepherds, then that has to include you too, doesn't it? Yes. Which means that, lest any shepherd get into the idea or the self-exaltation of doing this to the sheep, God has a message. Now, just like everything else, when you study the Bible, whenever you come across something you're reading and there's some correction in it, you take that correction for yourself as well. Because it's also awfully easy to say, well, it's those people over there. I'm not pointing to you, Rod. I'm pointing to the blackboard back there, see? Okay. This is not me. I'm an apostle or an evangelist, and I can hide my sins. Okay. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord, as I live. Now, God is swearing by his life. And whenever God says, as I live, or I swear by myself, he means, pay attention. Yes. Surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food to every beast of the field because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search out for my flocks, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. That means for what they did, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Now, how many ministers we know of have given up being ministers? Who caused that? God did. Why? Because he said unless they fed the flock, he was going to do it. Did he do it? Has he done it? See, just like God expects every one of us, he also expects everyone who is a shepherd or a minister, elder, teacher, whatever you want to label you want to put on it. He expects them to be faithful even if they must stand alone. And he must serve the brethren, whoever, whatever, wherever they are, according to the word of God. According to the Spirit of God, according to the love of God, not by his own devices. Okay? Nor shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. Now we've seen a lot of people who have been scattered abroad that God brings back. And how many stories I've heard. You know. And I'll tell you one thing. The Bible, Holy Bible in its original order that we have, we send it out if people have been in a church for years and have given up on God, or someone who's been in a church and has given up on God because of the ministers. I'll never trust another minister again as long as I live. Well, you shouldn't. Should trust God, and the minister should trust God, and he should do what God says, and it should be evident that he's doing what God says, and it should be evident in his life by the fruits of his life. See, you can't. Just like I've said how many times, you can't accomplish spiritual things by political means. Never work. Nor Can the Church of God be run by political means and human hierarchy that's against God? What did Jesus say the servant would be? The one who would be greatest would be what? The one who would serve. So all the elders, including me, and when I talk to elders, I'm talking to myself as well. When a person is ordained as an elder, it's really a demotion. It's not an exaltation, because you're to serve the brethren. All right, we'll go on a little further here. Okay, so God is going to seek them out. And what is he going to do? He's going to send them to where there are shepherds who are faithful. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Doesn't that describe like all the trouble you've been through? You had gloomy, dark days because of problems? Yes, indeed. I had a man who called me and said, "Boy, I'm so glad to get the Bible. I've got to get back with God. I've repented. Where can I keep the Passover?" So I told him, "And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them on the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the places of the land where my people live." Now you can also apply this to Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, and have not all of the shepherds of Protestantism and Catholicism fed themselves? There may be some out there that are earnest and honest. But the truth is, every Sunday-keeping pastor in his heart knows the Bible teaches the Sabbath. He knows it because he had to pass through that going through seminary. Is that not right? Okay. So you see how broad the application is. This is not just a little narrow, restricted thing. This is to anyone who is serving the people of Israel. Then he says, "I will bring them in a good pasture." Now, then it blends into the millennium, into regathering all the 12 tribes of Israel, you see. "And their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold, and in a fat pasture they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down. I will seek that which was lost, and will bring again those who were driven away, and will bind up the broken, and will gather the sick, and I will destroy the fat and strong, and I will feed them with judgment." Now, if anyone is in Washington, D.C., thinking about what the vote is going to be on Obamacare, they better read that. You know, I've nicknamed Washington, D.C., Washington, D.L.C., District of Liars and Corruption. See? Don't they feed themselves? You go one term as a House of Representative, and you retire with full pay. We're going to give health care to the flock out here, and we're going to ration it out, but whoa, ho, 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 we got a special plan just reserved for us. Same way with those who are church leaders. Build up assets and things out of church money for themselves, rather than work hard and build their own, how should you say, their own lives, their own homes, and their own whatever it may be. See, because if they faithfully served God and faithfully took care of what they should, faithfully served the brethren, God would make sure that he would bless them and they would have adequate, they would not have to go ahead and be pretentious about it and take money from the brethren and then not help the widow and not help the poor and not help those in need. Okay, verse 17. Now he's talking to the flock, because it's not just the shepherds. They're the enablers within the flock. See? "And you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between lamb and lamb, between ram and he-goats. Is it a small thing for you to have eaten up the good pasture? But must you trample the rest of your pastures with your feet? To have drunk of the clear waters, but you foul up the rest of it with your feet. Now, this is talking to the ones that are below the pastors and elders. You know, the hot shot super deacons, deaconesses, you know, and all the privileged. See? I mean, you can apply it there. You can apply this in many different ways. How about if you apply it to all the people of Israel? Well, how about those who go along with all of the sins and iniquities of the politicians and the church leaders? Same thing. This is broad application here, see. How many people have destroyed other people's lives by doing what it describes here figuratively? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will even judge between the fat lamb and the lean lamb, because you have thrust with side, in other words, you know, like a herd of sheep, side bumping against the other one. Okay. You have thrust with side and with shoulder and with your horns, have pushed all the weak until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock. Christ is in the middle of doing that right now. They're still scattering. God is still scattering to get them away from the pastors that feed themselves. Now then, it's up to the flock. What now do I do? Okay. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between lamb and lamb, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now, that's over physical Israel, right? Prophetically toward Christ, this is Christ as the head of the church. Would it not be? Yes, indeed. And he's the head of the church. And my servant David will be a prince among them, and I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make a covenant of peace with them, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And then it shows that God is going to take care of them. All right? Let's come here to Malachi, first chapter. Malachi, the first chapter. Now, you see, on the other hand, when they take all of the good and the fat, as it's described there in Ezekiel 34, to themselves and use it on themselves, I remember one time in the former church affiliation I was in, I was transferred down to Pasadena, pastored two churches in Southern California, Torrance and Santa Monica. And they had housing that when they would bring ministers in from the field, they would send the ones living in the homes out to the field, and the ones coming in from the field would go and move into those homes. And they had a warehouse with different furniture, and there was a man who was in charge of the furniture and so forth. And Dolores and I went around, and we were able to choose out some furniture that we had, and we moved in. I still remember the address, 949 South Pasadena Avenue. It was one of those freeway homes they were renting in the state of California. They still haven't put the freeway in, by the way. Still there. So he was taking me around. He says, come here, Fred, I want to show you something. Okay. So he took me over to one of these high mucky evangelist house that they were refurnishing. And it had, you know, 10-foot ceiling. Now, remind you that this was in 1972. So in terms of today's dollar, it's much more. You know, because today's dollars, like on that gold ad, it's shrinking down to nothing. Okay. So anyway, we're in there, and here's a crew hanging grapes. All paid for by church money. Paid for by third tithe. Supposed to go to widows. And the apostle would use of the widow money every year, $1.5 million for his fuel to fly around the world. So I looked at that and he said, Fred, you see those drapes? Yeah, I'm looking at them. He said, you know how much that cost? I said, no. He said, that's $60,000. Now, I had a little recourse that they didn't count on. They gave each minister in charge of church a checkbook to help the poor. So right there, right on that spot, I said to myself, I'm going to make sure that every dollar I give away, they can't spend. So I took care of the ones in Torrance and Santa Monica, and I was generous enough with what should be used to help them the way that it should be. Okay? All right. Now you have the other side. Once they get all spoiled, and once they get all rich, and once they get absorbed in themselves, they are like they are right here in Malachi, the first chapter. They leave doing off the things that God requires, and they substitute their own ways, as brought out by what was brought out here. All right? Let's begin here in verse 5. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified beyond the border of Israel. As a son honors his father, and a servant his master, if I then am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, who despise my name? Now, how do those who are supposed to be serving as ministers, and in this case priests, but we can use the analogy, the same thing applies today, how do they despise the name of God? By not preaching the truth the way that they ought to. Like one man told me, and I've heard it before, such and such a church was only started so that those elders that went with them could retain their pay. And some of them even bragged, well, I quit in this church and got my last check there, and I began the other church, and 2 weeks later I got another check, so I never missed a payday. Is that serving and feeding yourself? See? They weren't willing to stand for the truth, even if it meant losing all that they thought was precious to them. See, they forgot about Luke 14. Where you count the cost. And you forsake everything. And if it's taken from you, you say, yes, Lord, and you go from there. Okay? So here's how they forgot his name. And they say, and you say, in what way do we despise your name? God answers, verse 7, you have offered defiled bread on my altar, and you say, in what way do we defile you? In your saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now, what are we supposed to do? Let's put this in terms of New Testament language here. What are the people of God to be fed on today? What is the bread? Word of God and Christ. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. We are to teach everyone to have a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, correct? Teach them how to study the Bible. Give them the tools on how to solve their problems. Don't have a corporate executive where every person comes to the minister and says, oh, minister, how do I solve my problems? Sometimes people ask me, what do I do about it? I said, well, that's your judgment. You have to work it out. See? True. All right, let's continue on. And let's finish this here. It can all also be this way. When they go to the world's Christianity to find out what they believe in their doctrines and then bring that contemptible food within the church, they're doing that exact same thing right here. Okay? Are they not? Yes. Now, how did the meal from Stavronides taste? Anybody remember that? Couldn't even season it with garlic to get rid of the stench, right? Okay? Just a couple analogies, you know, right there. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? God says bring the best. Offer it now to your governor. Yes, run up to your governor and say, here, I got a gift for you, and here's a lame, blind, skinny old little ox, and you say, oh, here, I brought something real nice for you, and it falls down sick and ready to die right at his feet. Will he accept it? Well, that's about what they were doing here, right? Will he be pleased with you or accept your person, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God, and he will be gracious unto you. This has been by your hand, and now will he show regard for you, says the Lord of hosts. Then he says that you profaned everything. Chapter 2, he says something else. Let's come over here to chapter 2 and verse 1. And now, O priest, hear this commandment. It is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have indeed cursed them already because you did not lay it to heart. You ever gone in and heard of a sermon that sounded like it was a curse? Yeah. Yes, indeed. Speaking of cursing, there is one time when the Pope blessed a fleet of fishing boats, went out, got caught in a storm, and they all sank. How's that for cursing a blessing? Okay? You didn't lay it to heart. See, Paul writes there in Romans, the second chapter, says, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? Yes, that's why. Every time, anyone who's a minister or elder, I take it this way, I read this, not just to teach or preach, but I read it for correction for me. Because if I don't take the correction from the Word of God, and if I don't stay straight and on the straight and narrow, Dolores is there to let me know right away. She's right there. Trust me. See? But I have to do the correcting myself, just like you have to do the correcting yourself, see? The Word of God is not given to a minister to preach to you. The Word of God is given to all of us. How many times did Paul say, we, including himself? Yes. So he says, behold, I will rebuke your seed and will spread dung on your faces, even the dung of your appointed feast, and one shall carry you away with it. Have you ever gone to the Feast of Tabernacles and said, what on earth is this nonsense being preached? It's a bunch of skubala. You know what skubala is? That's Greek for dung. Yes. Okay. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you so that my covenant might be with Levi. Now the covenant is with the elders and teachers of the ministry today, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him for fear, that he might fear me, and that he was in awe before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many away from iniquity. But we're going to see something happen. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you, the priests, have departed out of the way, and have caused many to stumble at the law. Have a lot of people stumbled at the law, the teachings, the behavior? Yes. And you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I have also made you contemptible and base before all the people. Hasn't that happened to those ministers who conducted their lives in the ways that we've been reading about? Yes. I've heard people say, oh, yeah, that minister. Just as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do you deal treacherously, each man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Now, at the last elders' conference last year, I gave a message to all the elders on the elders' covenant with God. And we do have a covenant with God. And that covenant needs to be maintained at all times. And we need to be faithful to the Word of God, honest in our behavior, impartial in the things that we do and preach and teach. You know, there was a famous saying down in Pasadena when things were really getting tough and all the lies and sins were flurrying around like scubala in the wind. How many have gone down Highway 5 past Harris Ranch? And you go down there, they've got this big feedlot, and as you go by it, you smell all this wondrous manure just all up in the air, and sometimes it gets hot and dry, and the manure's in the air. I know Dolores and I, we thought, well, we'll stop by the Harris Ranch and get a steak there, you know, because we'd never been there. So we stopped by there, and we got out, and here's all this stench in the air. And it just made us want to vomit, and then we got inside, and they wanted like $45 for a steak, and we said, we're out of here. Okay? Well, hey, that's the way things turn out. Deal treacherously. Okay. Now, then it talks about divorce in there and so forth. All right. Let's come to 1 Peter 5. Let's see what the instructions are. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. No, let's go to John 21 and 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Back up, John 21. Sorry about that. And this is something that everyone who is teaching needs to go over and over all the time. See? The worst possible thing that can happen to anyone who is in a position to feed the flock and teach the brethren is that you become complacent with the Word of God. Okay? When I say you, I'm talking to me. Okay? Never become complacent with the Word of God. Now notice. Now this is quite a thing that happened between Peter and Jesus. And remember, it wasn't between any of the other apostles. And this was repeated 3 times, undoubtedly because Peter denied the Lord 3 times, didn't he? Yes. Verse 15, John 21. Therefore, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. What are you going to feed them? Food in due season. That's why at Passover and unleavened bread, what do we talk about? Passover and unleavened bread, because that's the lesson, is it not? Yes. Likewise with Pentecost and all the holy days. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Okay? Feed my lambs. That's a responsibility, right? Christ wants those who are teaching to teach the brethren so that all of us together can receive the highest reward possible. Because we love God, we love each other, we love the Word of God, and we all believe it, we all live by it, and that's what is taught. Can't be any other way. Feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. That means help them in the right way. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Then he had another message for Peter. And still, we're going to see, Peter couldn't help but compare himself with John. Verse 18, Jesus tells Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, since you were young, you have dressed yourself and walked wherever you have desired. But when you are old, you shall stretch out your hands, and another shall dress you and bring you where you do not desire to go." Now he said this to signify by what death he would glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Boy, that must have been some session with Peter there in front of all the apostles. Peter still didn't get it. We'll see, he later learned. But here, verse 20. Now when Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had sat at the supper and leaned on his chest and had asked, "Lord, who is it that is betraying you?" Seeing him, Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, what shall happen to this one?" Little politics. What's going to be his reward? You just told me what's going to happen to me. What's going to happen to him? Jesus told him kindly, "It's none of your business." So he said, "If I desire that he remain alive until I come, what is it to you? You follow me." Well, think about that. Three times, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Twice, follow me. Five specific instructions within this short space of Scripture. Now, John did live to see the return of Christ in vision as recorded in the book of Revelation that John wrote. But can you imagine, because it says it went out through the whole church, well, this disciple won't die until Jesus comes. Now, can you imagine what happened when John died and Jesus didn't return? Sounds like something a lot of us experienced in 1972 and 75, right? Okay. Let's go on. Now let's come to 1 Peter 5. We will see when Peter was old, he learned this lesson. 1 Peter 5. And again, this is important for everyone who's teaching to go over. You see, God does not want hierarchical authority that grips a church, and everyone must follow what this man says. God does not want that. Should never be taught. What should be is, brethren, we all are subject to the Word of God. And we are all to learn of the Word of God. And if someone has something, you know, where they see that I've done something wrong or something like that, let me know. If I've done something wrong, I need to repent of it. I don't want to go around and keep doing it, right? Okay? Notice what he says here. Chapter 5 and verse 1. The elders who are among you I exhort, even as a fellow elder and an eyewitness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker of the glory that is about to be revealed, feed the flock of God that is among you. Did he get the point? Yes. He learned that very well. Exercising oversight, not by compulsion, but willingly, not in fondness of dishonest gain, but with an eager attitude. Not as exercising lordship over your possessions, but by being examples to the flock. Now, there are two kinds of examples. The one from self, which says, I must set an example, but may not necessarily live it when no one else is watching. And there's the other example the one who is an example, because that's how he lives. You see the difference? You don't become an example because you're told to be an example. You become an example because that's how you live. That's what God wants with all of us. We're to be lights in the world, are we not? Yes, indeed. So these are some very important things. Notice, he learned the lesson too. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, that is at his return, you shall receive an unfading eternal crown of glory. Then he talks about humility. Verse 5, in the same manner, you younger men be subject to the older men, and all of you be subject to one another, being clothed with humility, because God sets himself against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Now, we can take a look at some other things here in a bit, but let's go ahead and take a break.